Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the glorious privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ by the word of truth through the Holy Spirit and by means of radio, and we trust the thoughts today will be a blessing to us as we study God's word together. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, located in Lenore, North Carolina, on the Walt Arney Road. We hold services each Sunday. Sunday school is at 9:30, morning worship service 10:30, evening message each Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. If you're in our area at any time, you're of course invited to attend and to worship with us. The greatest tragedy of all times is unfolding before our eyes in our very lives in these times of today, now in this present age, in which many want to be saved and share the eternal glory of eternity with God, find themselves far from that salvation of God, are unable to understand what it's all about. Some become discouraged and develop a non-caring attitude. As we look to our Lord, we hear Him say in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." These times are marked with many whose lives can cry, "Lord, Lord," but who are not doing what the Lord would have them to do. We look at Jesus, who gives us two examples. We can be rather sure that all builders of character with attributes of one's life in the interest of salvation can be classified under these two builders. Jesus spoke with a splendor of truth, saying, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Now notice that these are people who hear His sayings, and we have two builders. One does those sayings, puts them into action, another doesn't. Now let's underscore "and doeth them." We read scriptures like Ephesians 2:8, which says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, what's it talking about that's not of works of man? We're saved by grace through faith, but that not of ourselves. Grace of God that is given freely and flows freely to each of us to accept and receive is not the works of man, but that alone is inadequate, for it is God's grace coupled, tied together with our faith, our confidence in God, that really brings about salvation. Grace poured out upon the people who failed to receive it by faith, who refused to let that grace actually bring the provision of its works in their life and thus extinguish faith. Let this servant of God today remind you that there is no way to demonstrate faith except by works. It is the grace of God which is not of works of man, not of works lest any man should boast. God loved us while we were yet sinners. God loved the world and gave His begotten Son to die for the whole world, that every person who has ever lived or ever will live could be saved. In this building which I'm already speaking about, it is those who are hearers of the Word. And in these two examples, both of them heard the Word, but the ungodly are not mentioned in this parable. No attention given to them. Because ungodly doesn't care anything about the sayings of the Lord, consequently they're not building at all, and need not to expect any legitimate reward of the Lord as far as the blessings of eternal life and an entrance into the kingdom of God. The man that heareth these sayings and doeth them, Jesus said, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." What foundation have you built upon, beloved? Can your house stand in the rains and floods and winds and the storms of this life? Can your house be washed away? Can it be drowned out? Can they blow it down? Or can it stand in the midst of all kinds of hail, storm, flood, and rain, and wind? 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Peter said of Christ in 1 Peter 2:4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And for those who come to Him, He declares, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house." That's the house we're building, the spiritual house for the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. But we must come to Christ. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We must build on that foundation of the confession of Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The foundation of the truth and the office of Jesus Christ to bring us to God. John the Baptist spoke of these two houses in this way. And it gives you the true church of which Jesus Christ is the head, and the world church over which the man of sin is the head. John 3:31, he said, "He that is from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth." That is, his message, his doctrines is from the earth, and they originate from the wisdom of men. But he that is the messenger of God speaketh by the authority of heaven, and speaks not by earthly wisdom of men, but of the wisdom of our Lord. For he that cometh from heaven is above all, and this is the Christ on whom we must believe. We must believe that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that God raised him from the dead, that he sitteth at the right hand of God, being caught up to God's right hand after his death and burial and resurrection, and that he will return in power and glory to raise the sleeping dead, to judge the world, and reward all men, and establish the eternal kingdom of God. These two men, one was wise and one was foolish, is representative of the two churches operating now in the world. The foundation of one is on Christ, the solid foundation, the sure foundation, the other on the sand, sands of the wisdom of men with no foundation at all. One will withstand the storms of sin and mortality, the other will fall. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Peter asked this question: if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Notice there are three classes listed here. The sinner is the one who is in error, building on the sands. He's hearing the word of God, but not doing it. The ungodly are they who care nothing about salvation or God. Makes no difference to them, and they're not building anyway. The righteous are they who are serving God, building on the foundation that will last forever, and they're doers of the word. Now, let us be consistent and maintain our integrity of arriving safely in the building that cannot fall. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not, now underscore doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I have a faith, James gives us, of the difficulty of this tragic illusion. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:20, again, and 2:17, he gives this thought: even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, if we receive God's grace, which is the works of God, and have faith in that grace, but are never motivated to build upon the solid foundation, of what benefit is it to us? The real personal salvation of reward can be found in what Jesus said in Revelation 22:12. He said, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Note, according as his work shall be, not according to how much faith he had or how much he has believed, although that certainly is important. Now, James 2:19 tells us, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Now, any consideration given to a true saving faith is one that is active, alive, filled with motivation of serving God, doing his will, not thinking about his will, not believing what his will is, but doing his will. His great commission was going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, there isn't any work in that commission, some say, but that isn't true. And the common sense of it makes it consistent that when we're to be baptized into Christ, that takes some work. It means going to a place where there's water and being baptized in his name for the remission of sin. Let's go to the faith chapter of Hebrews 11 and see just what kind of faith all of these people had. By faith, Abel did something. What did he do? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He could have believed and received the grace of God, heard the word of God, but if he had never offered a more excellent sacrifice, just how alive would his faith have been? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why? What had he done? He pleased God by preaching that the Lord would come with 10,000 of his saints. He had the testimony that he gave to the world. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Suppose ye that he had abused that faith, which he had in what God had given him to understand, and had continuously lived like the rest of the world, participating in all their activities, but never took time to build the ark. Would he not too have perished? would he not have been as without reason like the devils that believe there's one God and tremble? And will we not likewise do the same unless we get into action for God? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out. How can you say yes to God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord and not obey? Are you obeying the Lord and doing what God has called you to do? Beloved, there's no man, woman, boy, nor girl whom God has created who has nothing to do in the great plans of God. God is our Creator. He loves every one of us. He's done all He can do to save us by giving His Son through His grace, and it's His works and not the works of men. And as He chose to save the world by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, and as we hear and move to obey by faith, we must prove our faith is legitimate by doing the works of God. Now we can say, praise God, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, and that's just as true as it can be. God's gift is His grace, and it didn't never come by the works of man. It is like I give you a Christmas present all wrapped up beautifully. You never unwrap it. You never see what's in the package. You never use what I gave you. You will not work an investigation of what is the inside of the present that's wrapped up. Now, let's go and look at God's grace. That's the way it is. He's given it to us, and it's His work and not our works. But when we receive it, it's going to take a little work to unwrap the package, look at it, and investigate it, and then to use the gift that we have been given. And we go right into the next sentence of after the Scripture says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, for we are His workmanship. Now listen, that's Ephesians 2 and 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in good works. Now that's works of faith, God's grace, works of grace that we receive of God, and our works coupled with our faith, and that grace motivates us into the good works that He wants us to walk in. Preparing an ark was a work of faith. Obeying and going out was a work of faith by Abraham. By faith, Moses kept the Passover, and I ask you, how much work did it take to observe that Passover? Suppose ye that he had believed, but had never let one lamb be slain, or any blood applied to doorposts, they would have all died that night of the firstborn. David believed in God. Israel had a great enemy, Goliath. God did not take life from the giant. God did not slay the giant, but David knew that God would intervene and deliver the giant into his hand when he put his faith into action. If David had never moved to the brook and on to meet the giant with the five stones and never put one in the sling and never give the stone a sling, no matter how much faith he had, the giant would not have been defeated. It has been foretold by the apostles of our Lord that the manner of some in the last days is going to be to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Friends, we hope and trust that you today will assemble at the house of God and glorify God and work for God till Jesus comes, that you may have a home in His everlasting kingdom. May God bless us our prayer.